Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Well, as we hear again and again and again, construction costs here in Ireland are a lot higher than in other parts of Europe. But just why is that? That's what a team of construction consultants was asked by the government to explore. And their report was approved by Cabinet this morning. Paul Mitchell, co-founder of the firm Mitchell McDermott, which wrote the report, joins us now. And Paul, we might start with how you went about this study and how did you make sure you were comparing like with like, which I imagine is not that awfully easy to do.
Correct. Good afternoon, Sarah. Yeah, there was a very detailed brief issued by the Department of Housing Construction Sector Group. And part of the approach was two-pronged, really. The first was to actually take the Irish product, the building that we build in Ireland, and we looked at four different types. We looked at a house, suburban apartment, an urban apartment, and student accommodation. And we took those, a concept that we called the travelling box, and we took a detailed design project on each of the four, and we employed consultants in each of the other cities, which were Birmingham, Utrecht, Berlin, and Copenhagen, to price the Irish design. And that was to take any of the, you know, non-comparable items out of it. But what we found there was across the apartments and the student accommodation was that the costs were very similar. So if you produce the Irish apartment or the Irish student accommodation in any of those other cities, in suburban apartments, it was plus or minus 4%. Okay. On urban apartments, it was 9-1. Housing was different. What we found was that really Birmingham was the only comparable in housing. And we found that Birmingham was producing a much cheaper building for the travelling box, if you want. So that cut out all kinds of options, yeah.
Okay, so when you say Birmingham was the only comparable in housing, why was that? Why did the other two cities not compare?
The other three cities don't really do what we call scheme housing. So if you go into drive into your housing estate, that's your 3- and 4-bed semi-detached houses, they're just, their housing product is very different. It's either very dense in around their cities, or it goes to kind of one-off housing on plots in their suburbs. But they have a much more low-rise but medium-density product.
All right. So we'll take a look at Birmingham then, because that's maybe where we can learn. Given it's so close, it's a good comparison, I think, for people. How do costs in Dublin compare with costs in Birmingham when asked to quote for the exact same project as you were doing?
So when we compared the same, it was 15% cheaper in Birmingham. And then but what we found was that where our houses on average here were 123 square metres, the house in Birmingham was 93 square metres. So it didn't have, you know, an ensuite. It was much simpler in terms of its specification. And, you know, and it would also seem that the economies of scale that they have in the UK and the very large housing developers that they have would have an impact there also in relation to reduced labour cost. So there is an action there to look at a more affordable housing product, if you want, because we're not building the smaller houses that we are allowed to in Ireland under the regulations.
So sorry, and I'm sorry now if I'm being obtuse, Paul, but just to be absolutely clear, if the houses in Birmingham were 93 square metres as opposed to the ones in Ireland that were 120 square metres, how is that comparing like with like? Or is it that you're asking for a particular project to be developed and this is the type of project that would be developed?
Yeah, so the first strand was doing the travelling box. The second strand was saying, okay, what do you build?
Okay.
So we did two comparisons. And the second comparison is what we call a benchmark. And it's on that one that we were comparing 123 square metres to what they actually build, which was 93.
Okay, so is it possible then that the part of the problem in terms of construction costs here is that people are simply expecting too much from their houses?
I think we have grown used to of having a house with, you know, of a particular size, with its own suites, you know, with its extra bathroom. It was something that we saw across the apartments as well in Europe. You know, when we did the benchmark on the apartments and we saw that it was 17 to 31% cheaper, even though they were like for, there was very little in it when they were pricing the Irish one. What we found was that the scope and specification was very different. When you walk in to buy your apartment in Copenhagen or Berlin, you may have no finishes on the floor. You may not have a ceiling. It may be just bare concrete. You may or may not have a kitchen.
But, you know, have to pay for those things at some stage. So
exactly,
is it just that the
exactly.
construction... Okay, so, but in that instance, then maybe construction costs are not necessarily more expensive here. They're just up front.
Exactly. And that was the thing we found. And that was why the travelling box was illuminating, because it said, well, hang on, these costs are pretty much the same. Why are you now saying for your benchmark, it's up to 30% cheaper? Hmm. And what we found was that it was the scope. And when we drilled into it, we said, well, surely that owner or that tenant has to come along and go to IKEA and get a kitchen and get some secondhand furniture or bring it from elsewhere and put down floor finishes. But that's what, and it's a term, they have a term for it. It's called grey box living. And so it's deferred cost as opposed to, you know, it's not an ultimate saving. But when people quote construction costs, what we found is that they are quoting the cost that is apples and oranges as opposed to apples and apples.
So then what can we learn from this, or what would you recommend, or are there recommendations to be found here to try and bring down the cost of construction?
Yeah, certainly there's those type of items that we talked about. There's certainly scope. The one thing that we did find was that there was certainly on the student accommodation and the apartments on the continent was that there was much more standardized approach to construction. So, for example, when we sent them our documents, they came back and said, why do we have 21 different window types? And we said, because that's the design, that's the scheme. This is a scheme that has planning, that's under construction. And they said, we have four.
Okay.
And when we go to the factory, we get four. So inherently, because they're so much more mature from an apartment point of view, they're used to having that conveyor belt just spit out this, and it's up to the architects to put them sideways or upside down, but you're only getting four types. And I use that as a very basic example, but that is one of the big things to come out with.
I understand. Plenty to rake through there. Well, thank you very much for talking us through it. Really interesting findings. That's Paul Mitchell, co-founder of Mitchell McDermott, who wrote that report on construction costs. We'll take a break.